Well, thanks, guys, for coming. We're excited to have you here. I'm really excited to share this material with you. I haven't taught through this for almost 15 years. I used to teach through it every year. And we've taught it to, I wrote a list down here somewhere, but a good share of the churches to back in the 90s and in the early 2000s. Because my goal was to get as many pastors in the area and staff as well to be counseling their own people from the scriptures. And so we'll get into that in a little bit, but I'm really excited just about them. This is kind of an experiment, and let me tell you what I'm talking about here. Always before, when I teach this material, it's a class once a week for 22 weeks, and there's a continuity to it. And so forth, but we wanted it to be much like the foundations class in that you didn't have so much week because we know your schedules are busy, and some of you could be in the class if it was once a month, you know, that kind of a thing. So I'm hoping we don't lose continuity. I don't think we will if you're into the materials and so forth in between the classes. So because it's been so long since I taught through it, we're going to grow together here, and I'll get better as we go along. It doesn't be too much tonight. Give me at least another shot at it next month. But everyone that needs to have a manual, have a manual. Okay, if you don't, they're out there. I encourage you to, you know, take notes. I'd encourage you to take notes right in your book so that it's, you know, and when you're using it, for yourself or your family or a friend, or you're going through it in a discipleship process, you've got your notes right in your book. and that's helpful. I was going to bring you my old book and show you how it was marked up, but I forgot. Need to bring a Bible if you can, or your phone. I hate to even say that. Can't write on your phone. I guess you can write something in your phone, or you can underline, but not me. Maybe you can. No telling what might happen if I start doing that. highlighter's even helpful sometimes. If there's a particular really hits you, and you think, man, I want to remember that, you can highlight it, and that's very helpful. This manual will become an incredible lifelong resource for you. There's so much scripture. I'll tell you a little story. I was counseling this guy years ago, and I was using this material quite a bit. And when I was done meeting with him, he called me up and said he had a gift for me. And so I'm waiting in the office. He comes in. He's got this big, long box, and it's manual size books just like that, and it's 18 volumes. I said, what you got there? He said, that is the manual typed out with all the scripture that's on. That's how much scripture is in that manual. And now here's another thing about this. There will be, you'll be going over materials, and one lesson and one concept and one principle builds on the other principles, and there'll be a lot of repetition, but that's how we learn. You'll be studying and you'll be going all these verses and you think, oh, I know that one, I know that one, I know that. Oh, I'll write that one in. And before you're done with this class, you'll be amazed at how much scripture you've learned and can apply to your life and know how to do that. That's one of the things that I think is so cool about this. I want to give you a little history before of how this book, how I came upon it, and how I've used it myself and in the community, and the impact it's had over the years. And when I was in training for counseling I've been training ever since I was in my 20s. You never quit training when it comes to counseling. There's always something else to learn. I'd been through a lot of training, but I had a friend in business that told me about this organization. And he said, man, it's in our church. It's a foundation, and this book that they use is out of this world fantastic. So I went down, took the course, and spent some time down there. I've been through it three times. I went through the whole course. There's five different modules or something. But this first course is this manual. And that's what you use over and over and over because it's just the scriptures applied, okay? and very well put together. The guy that did this was a guy by the name of John Broger. Now, when we get to going through the book here in a minute, I'll mention there's a whole page in there, a bio of this guy. But he's an amazing man, good friend with Jay Adams. They even started an educational foundation together. Brogers was recruited out of that back into the military as a writer for the military. And he was there for a long time. And then later started the Far Eastern Broadcasting Company, which many of you have heard of for I don't know how many years. Tremendous travel, learning about different cultures, how to get the Bible to people. And all that went into, right at the end of his career, he realized that the counselors or the chaplains for the military didn't have any good biblical material to counsel our soldiers. He wrote it for that purpose. And it was much abbreviated at that time, but he wrote it for that purpose. And then it's just grown and grown and grown until we have it to the level we have it now. So when I got the material and saw how effective it was, I thought, you know, somehow these pastors and staffs knowing how to counsel their people. Because to be honest with you, I was wearing out counseling everybody in town. And they were all sending people to me, and then later Dave and York and Randy Webb, and we were just overrun. So I started around to the different churches and training in those churches. The way that happened was we built relationships through those training times with the pastors, and they trusted us, and then they said, okay, yeah, we'd love to have that training. We know how to do what you're doing. And so we started doing these trainings, and we did them in a lot of churches in town. The result of that was that for about a 10-year period, there was real stability within the body of Christ in our town, and I don't take all the credit for it. I'm just saying that's how much power the scriptures have when it's being applied in people's lives at their own church level. So it's not just going out somewhere to get their people know how to counsel each other. The pastors know how to counsel each other. The staff knows how to help people. And it really had quite an impact in the community. I just listed a few of those churches: Camas Valley, New Life, Roseburg Christian Fellowship, New Hope, RAC, Winston Assembly, and several other churches. 2-week course through this book, and then they took off and took it and used it themselves. And it really affected our community for the good. I'd like to see that happen again. But see, what happens is we're not every pastor stays 20 years at a church. Many of those moved on. Many of them retired. Many of them passed away. And wasn't transferred into the next person coming in. So that all needs to kind of be done again, which some of you can always pick it up and go get accomplished somewhere along the line when you're to that level you want to. But it needs to be done in each church. When we started CLF, we wanted, Dave and I, and soon after that, Mike came on board, and we were trying to figure out different ways with all these new people to get a solid biblical foundation for relationships, for parenting, for marriage, how to resolve issues between each other, on and on and on. And this is what we chose to do. Was for the first 5 years was to go every year for 22 weeks for those that hadn't gone through it and those wanting to go through it again. I know you guys went through the class and several others. I think Rex and she went through it and others. So people want to know the value of this. Well, it built the foundation of our church between the right kind of preaching from the pulpit, this being led in as a way to deal with life and problems, being taught at all different levels, prepared our care group leaders. It helped our families know how to deal with issues, and also kept peace in the body because we knew how to deal with issues. After the elders retreat last year, Dave got talking about doing something in the way of practical theology, and he said, And I was thinking about doing self-confrontation for ongoing training for the counselors, this course. Just do it every year for the counseling that are coming up. And so why don't you just do it for the whole church? And I said, oh, well, I guess I could do that. And so then that's what we're doing. And I'm excited about it. I think there's so many ways to use this. So I want you to be thinking out of the box here. This isn't just counseling training for you. This can be used in discipling a family. It can be used in discipling a new disciple. It can be used in a men's group. It can be used for a care group. You can use it so many different ways. It's used all the way from junior high Bible classes to seminary practical theology classes all over the world. Matter of fact, I was asked to go teach it in South Africa, but I wasn't at that time real pleased with what was going on in South Africa, so I just didn't go. But it's being used all over the world, and it's a fantastic course. So it's part of what we're wanting to do to equip our people on. And so when people come in, they go through a membership class if they want to be involved in that way. They have some sermons. They want to grow. They're going to go through, like I say, through membership class, and they're going to go through theological foundations, which is the systematic theology, getting all the major doctrines of the faith clear and understood and discussed so that they're usable in their life. Go through this course as an application of those principles and how to live life with the biblical principles. So you can see how this is kind of adding meat to the bones and giving you the practical stuff to use in your life on a daily basis. There's a place in Acts chapter 20, and some of you that have gone to counseling training know, and this is going to be repetitive for you, but in Acts 20, the Apostle Paul laid out how to build a church, how to establish it, how to grow it, and how to accomplish everything to build the family of God in a local area. So what's he say? He says, first he talks about in Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 17, he talks about how he lived in their midst. He was submitted to Christ. He was a servant. He worked hard. He depended on no one else. He depended on the Lord and him to take care of himself and those that were with him. And then he said to publicly, that would be sermons, any public teaching, at a men's meeting, a woman's meeting, where there's public any venue, public teaching. So there's public teaching going on here. There's house to house. He went house to house. That's our care groups. This was our model from the beginning. Care groups, as the church grows, you need close relationships. You need places to discuss and talk at a little deeper level than you can on a Sunday morning. Ask questions, engage, and sort of a thing. Support one another, pray for each other, serve each other. And then Paul said he, for 3 years, with tears, he met with them one-on-one. That's counseling, personal discipleship, where things get taken care of that can't get taken care of in a public setting. And that's why we're developing the counseling ministry, but that's also why there's so many groups beginning to grow. There's men's groups for all different ages. There's young, I just spoke at a young father's group. There's even a group, looks like it's going to start for that middle age group. There's groups, but they're all venues for teaching and discipling and learning and fellowshipping and growing into a cohesive community and body of Christ. You see what this isn't by accident. This is the way the Apostle Paul said. And so we're trying to find ways to implement that. And this is part of that program. I want you to know that the course, everybody that came in here tonight's probably got a different expectation on how you're going to use the material. Hey, nothing wrong with that. I want whatever it is you're wanting to grow in and learn in, however much time you have, whatever, you know, how you can fit this into your schedule, that's totally up to you. We're only meeting once a month. We're going to cover 2 chapters a month. And like I say, that's kind of an experiment. We'll see how that goes. So I'm going to cover two chapters in 2 hour discussion, which before I always did one chapter in 2 hours with discussion. So we'll see. So I need to do less teaching, and you guys need to be prepared to ask questions, and that way we can shorten it down a little bit and keep within the framework, because we're not going to go over 2 hours. So we're going to keep it in that framework. So it's going to give you need, I think, to accomplish the Great Commission at whatever level you're at right now, starting at home, in the workplace, your kids, your friends, your community, and give you the equipment you need and the understanding you need of the scriptures and how to apply it. Now, I don't think there's a question regarding anything in life that isn't covered in the Bible. If it has to do with relationships and people and friendships, community, it's in the book. And if you'll find it all in this manual on how to identify an issue, you to change it, and to apply the scriptures to make change. So there's just a couple other things I wanted to mention, because all we're going to do tonight is show you how to use the manual and give you the first assignment. So I've got a little bit of time here to cover. I don't want you to feel pressure from me or anybody else as to how much you put into the course. I want you to feel like you're here to get what you need at this time. You take it again next year. You can go through it yourself. But I can tell you that there's several different paths you can take, and I'll just run a few of those past you. You know, one of them, you can just, in this manual, you can just read the cover page, the outline page, and the purpose page, which are the first two pages, and read the boxes at the top, which are the main statement principles that are going to be taught on that page. Look at the one or two principles taught per lesson. Read those and maybe a few verses underneath them. And if that's all you have time for, you're going to gain a lot. But there's other options too. You may not have time to do that. If you want to come to the class and sit through the class and get taught and go home, that's fine too. I just want you to get what you can get, and I think some of it will be helpful to you. Now, there's another. Grab your manual. Let me show you on page, and we'll go back to the first in a minute. Go through lesson one, plural two, page 25. I don't know if it's 25 in years. I hope it is. Mine's a little older. Does it say lesson homework? Yeah. Okay, good. So this is one form of doing all homework, and this is set up to do in a week. So you've got 2 weeks for each lesson, so you can spread it out. and this is if you were going to go ahead and take the course, which most of you aren't going to. So, but it'll get you through. And the things that are asterisked are the things that are required for the training course, which you don't, you know, if you're doing the whole thing, it doesn't matter anyway. So that's another way you can do it. Pretty simple to follow. Just do what it says, and you'll be done in plenty of time. On the next page, I think, is the best option. And if you don't have already a daily devotional Bible study prayer time in your life for the next year, this could put you on a really good path. And so every day, like first day, well, if you look to the top, you're going to memorize Ephesians 2, 8, 9. And I suggest while you're at it, throw in 10, because it's kind of a complete thought if you go through 10. And begin to memorize Matthew 7, 1, and 5. But then look the first day. You just open in prayer, read the biblical. You can change biblically part 1, lesson 1, page 2. Highlight the listed verses in your Bible, and in your own words, write out the meaning of Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Close in prayer, take your scripture memory card with you in your pocket, and begin to work on it. Take about 15 to 30 minutes a day. so, you know, you got a fantastic growth process going on. If you haven't already got something set up, you just do that every day, and by the end of this year, it'll blow your mind what you've learned. But I want to throw out one other thing. Not just learned, I hope, applied. Okay. If we learn and don't apply, that can be dangerous. What I mean by that is if you go to James 1:22, you know, we're to be doers, not only hearers. If we hear the word and we know what it's and we don't apply it, and we're not a doer, we'll become self-deceived. And that's where we get puffed up, out of knowledge. You want to learn to do. Learn to apply. And so those are the different ways to study this material, and you just choose the one you want and go with it. And you can change your mind as you go along, too. We're flexible here tonight, okay, and going to be through the whole course because I know have different lifestyles. You're all in a different place. You're all doing different things. And so you can only do so much sometimes, and others have a lot of time. Now turn. I'm going to work. So take your manual now. Turn to page 3. Does it say use of the self-confrontation manual? Is that what it said? Yeah. Okay, good. I think I got the right book. All right. I've used my old one so long, and I got this other one. It's not very new either.
Huh? I got an old
edition. No, you got the last edition. And that's the best one, of course. So, I think, 91 was the last update, and it's really good. Now, just 3 or 4 points on the purpose of the manual is to teach to examine yourself biblically so you can live in a manner that pleases the Lord and helps others do the same. That's so page 3 in the box, right at the top paragraph, the two purposes are learn to apply the scriptures and live them yourself, and then know how to help others do the same. That's called discipleship, and that's how we do the Great Commission. Okay? That's how we multiply. It's used, I've already to this, don't need to get into that. It's been used so many different ways in different kinds of ministries. The third thing down there, pastors and so forth, already talked about that. Now, number 4 down here, the last paragraph, please do not be intimidated by the volume of scripture references contained in this manual. Some people look at a page and they think, oh my word, I don't have time to look those all up. Well, look up 1 or 2. See? What I do is Dave York would love this. I set my phone here. Now, before I set my Bible here, I wore out Bibles, you know, flipping through, getting these verses. But now I just sit there with my phone. If I don't know what the verse says, I just flip to it, read it, make a couple notes, go to the next one. It's amazing how quick you can get through these and begin to see. Now, why are all those verses there? They're to convince you without a shadow of a doubt so you don't have a hitch in your step that that point is biblical and needs to be applied. And so some of those verses will hit you personally. Underline those. Take a marker and mark them. And then start applying those to your life. Because God uses his word to transform us by the renewing. Okay? So no matter whether you're a theologian or a beginner, this will help you get these verses in your life. You can see on the next page the bio of Dr. Broger. I'll let you read that. It's worth reading. Tremendous individual. The next page is meeting all these people on the next page too, but that's not important. Over here on, then you start into the table of contents. Now, I don't want to go there. I want to go past the table of contents to page 12. No, excuse me, page 11. Why self-confrontation? Now, I don't know how many people asked me when I said that the course was going to be from a book called Self-Confrontation. They said, that doesn't sound like much fun. And I said, well, sometimes it's not much fun, but that's how we change. Now, it's not like it sounds. We're necessarily in a form of formal confrontation, but you are constantly studying the Word of God, looking at it, using it as your grid to give you that standard of right and wrong. what to put on, what to put off, learning about God, learning about parenting, learning about children, learning about your own heart. So self-confrontation is all about evaluating your heart, not perspective, but from God's. Okay? A little exercise in here. I'll bring it to you next week. But it's interesting, if you ask people if they think they're loving, and they write out their answer. And then you have them read 1 Corinthians 13 and say, now, uh-oh, not so much. Oh, see, because we're comparing ourselves to ourselves or somebody else, and Paul says that's foolish. We should be comparing ourselves to the Scriptures. That's the standard. And you know what? We always come up short. Thank God for the gospel. That for us, because we are fallen creatures that don't live up to the standards hardly ever without Christ. And so one of the things that the law does is it shows us how bad we need a Savior. But it also shows us the reality of our hearts. We think we're pretty good folk. Well, compared to what? The neighbor or God? Uh-oh. Paul, as he got older and more mature and more honest with himself, saw his sin more and more and more as he went along. Recognized it and realized he wanted to live pleasing to God. So he began to put off and put on, put off and put on. He was becoming more and more like Christ. But the closer you get to God's righteousness, the more it shines light on your heart, which is desperately wicked above all things. Who in the world can trust it? Nobody. But people say, oh, got to live by your heart. Well, that is dangerous. No, live by the truth. Measure your heart and alter it and restrain it and change it. And now you're getting somewhere. So this over here, I'll read a little of this to you. Top. Oh, it's 11 at the top and it's Roman numeral 6 at the bottom. Anyway, self-confrontation, isn't that just another way of saying self-condemnation? Isn't that productive to fulfilling life? Instead of confronting myself, shouldn't I be building myself up? Shouldn't I avoid doing anything that would lower my esteem, my self-esteem, or my self-image? Don't I have to learn to love myself before I can love others? And don't I have to know how to forgive myself before I have true peace and joy? You've all been taught those things by the world to think those are true. In actuality, they're the opposite of what God teaches about us, our hearts, and you need to be doing. Questions like these reflect the fact that many of us are following false teaching that has been present since the beginning of time, but is gaining unprecedented popularity in the church today. Now remember, this was written in the 70s to start with. The 70s was the beginning of self-image movement, self-potential movement. It was right at the whole free love thing. It was rebelling against everything. It was the crazy time to live. Some of you weren't even a twinkle in your daddy's eye at that point, but I was living at that point. I told some kids the other day, asked me, Mr. Hurd, how old are you? And I said, I'm 3/4 of a century. And they looked at me like, that's not possible. I said, yep, it's true. But see, this is called the doctrine of self-exaltation and self-gratification. This preoccupation with self is based on a misunderstanding of one's relationship with God, is unbiblical, and deters spiritual growth. You cannot grow if you're spending all your time trying to build yourself up and protect yourself from someone else's evaluation, try to help you grow. That's why we need community. See? Self-exaltation, self-gratification has always had devastating consequences. This self-focus was the basis of Satan's downfall. He was going to exalt himself above God. Part of the first temptation on the earth in the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve. We can be just like God. No, you can't. He's God and you're a human being. You're a creature created by him. You can become more and more like him. You can please him. You can cry out to him to help you be what he's asked you to be. But you'll never be God. You can have some of the characteristics of God. But you got to be careful what you believe about what your goals are. An unsuccessful appeal to self-exaltation, gratification, was the focus of the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ by Satan. You remember, he's wanting Jesus to do things and exalt himself ahead of time. And you can read that story in Luke 4 and Matthew 4 and other places. Self-exaltation and self-gratification reaches its pinnacle these last days, as Scripture predicts. Men are lovers of self. In 2 Timothy, if you read that passage, you'll see lovers of self and then all these other problems. And they're all because they're lovers of self instead of lovers of God and others. The two great commands are love God, love others. And people say, but you got to love others the way you love yourself. That passage in Matthew is saying you need to love others in the way you already do love yourself. Paul says no one hates his own flesh but loves and cherishes it. If you don't believe that's true, have somebody who's in a bad case of self-pity and have done terrible things and feeling bad about themselves, and they're coming into counseling and you're trying to help them, and they're telling you they have to learn to love themselves and forgive themselves and all that sort of thing. And if you agree with them, I remember one time in a train station down in San Diego, California, Dr. J. Adams was there, and he told the story about a guy doing well, and he had bought into the self-image thing instead of what God says about denying self and so forth. And he said he hated himself and on and on, and he said... told him all these things. He said he was a bad father and he was a bad husband and he had done all these bad things. And Jay said, yeah, that's your bad father. And that is terrible. And the guy said, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Started defending himself, see? The fact of the matter is, you got to sort this through carefully. And we will as we go through this. The fact of the matter is, we got to see ourselves the way God sees us. We are sinners saved by grace in much need of change. And if we begin to try to evaluate ourselves by our evaluation of our hearts, we are very favorable to the way we think and our abilities and our analysis of things. It'll cause you to have pride. What we have to do instead is see ourselves the way God sees us. And say, oh, Lord, I can't get through a day without you. I can do nothing that has eternal blessing and consequence to us without you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but that all things isn't all to do. That all things is all the things that he's called me to do. He'll help me do that. He won't help me to do all the things that I want to do because that isn't good for me. So you'll see as we go through this, this may challenge you really big time, but look what it says next. Instead of pleasing yourself, Scripture tells you to examine or confront and humble yourself, Matthew 23 and 1 Corinthians 11. You must do this because your heart is deceitful, desperately wicked, beyond full understanding, Jeremiah 17:9. Now, I didn't say this. God's word says this. The first step in self-confrontation, realize your own sinful, lost condition before God, and second, to turn to God as your only hope of eternal salvation. And that's, you know, Romans, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life. And second, to turn to God as your only hope of eternal life. According to his mercy, God provides salvation through faith, as a free gift of his grace, not because of any good thing in you and not because of any good work could do to merit his love and favor. It's because of his love and mercy that he saves us. if there's anything that underlies this training, as it says in that last paragraph, is for you to determine biblically whether you are seeking to please yourself or seeking to please God in all your think, in the way you think and do. As you will soon discover, the objective of this personal discipleship and biblical counseling training. Look at this next statement. The counseling training is not to learn how to save your life, but instead how to lose it for Jesus' sake through the process of evaluating yourself biblically. Remember that Luke 9 passage. If you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to save your life, you'll lose it. If you give up your life for me, you'll save it. I used to think, wait a minute, how could that mean that? That's exactly what Jesus was saying. He was saying, listen, if you try to hang on to the life you have set out for yourself, it's not going to go well. You're going to lose the life I want you to have. And the life I want you to have is the right life. It's much better. He says it's abundant. He didn't say easy. It's full of joy. But a lot of times we're chasing after expectations and hopes and dreams that aren't even good for us. And yet God takes us by the hand and says, now wait a minute, you got to give up on that stuff. And my way. You're in your fallenness and your brokenness and your evaluations aren't very good sometimes. Mine are perfect. Now, I'm not talking about everything you're doing, give it up. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is, in this of learning what God has for you, you're going to get to where you trust God and His Word more than you. And you're going to find that that produces a much better life. So, that's the purpose of the course. Is to know God and to then become like Christ and share that hope of the gospel with others in the way we live. I was talking to the young married guys group the other night, and we were talking about how do you share the gospel with guys at work? It starts with living for Christ. It starts with self-sacrifice. It starts with serving them, caring for them, being a friend to them, getting them talking, being responsible, caring about their concerns. And pretty soon they're going to start asking you questions because you're different. And the difference is what Christ has made you into. And you're going to have to do that here. I think it's very important that you'll find that your life will become so matter of fact that when you're talking about God, you talk about it the same as you talk about your work. You might have a little more bump in your stuff than you do when you're talking about work. But it's just who you are. And you're excited for them because you know what's going to happen to them if they come to Christ. And you know that they're going to go from eternal objects of wrath before a righteous God to someone who God is caring for and developing into being like Christ. And is that going to affect their marriage? Is that going to affect their parenting? Is that going to affect the way they treat their employees? Is that going to affect the way they represent themselves in public or private? It absolutely should. So that's where we're headed. And I want us to take a little break, and then I'm going to show you just exactly how this manual is laid out and how you look at a chapter and know exactly what it wants you to do. So let's take a little break, let's say 10 minutes. A couple things I need to cover before I jump into just showing you how the manual works. And then if you think of any questions about what I've been saying or questions you have about the manual, I'm going to finish here in a few minutes, and then If you have, it's great. And if you don't, we'll let you off early tonight because that probably won't happen very often. A couple of things I wanted to go back over that I kind of skipped here. Didn't mean to. Down there on page 12, purposes of the course. First purpose is to teach how to approach circumstances, relationships, situations of life from a biblical perspective and to experience victory and contentment in all of life's trials, testings, and problems. That's the first purpose. The second is to prepare you to help others deal with their challenges as well. So, again, you know, the whole Matthew 7 concept, I got to get my own self squared away before I can see to help somebody else. And so we start with ourselves, get ourselves on a track of right direction with the Lord, and then we can help somebody in that same area well. The other thing is down here, the objectives of this course. The biblical principles for understanding problems from God's point of view. These are things you're going to get. Biblical principles for gaining hope in every situation. The biblical principles for establishing change. The characteristics and importance of biblical homework. Biblical principles pertinent to dealing with self-belittlement, self-exaltation, self-pity. So it's just as incorrect to tear yourself down as it is to build yourself up. Those that asks us to do. So you'll see how that all plays out. We're to have an honest evaluation of ourselves based upon the scriptures. Personal difficulties such as greed, envy, anger, bitterness, depression, fear, and worry, all those will have a chapter on their own. Relationships, interpersonal, marriage, and parenting, those chapter or two. And dominating, life-dominating sins such as homosexuality, alcohol, drug abuse, and those types of things. Those will all be explained and give you tools to know what to do with those. Now, give you an idea. There's probably about, if you were to do the full homework thing like it's got on that one in one page, about 3 hours per chapter. So that's about 6 hours for the month if you do both chapters and you did all the homework. So that gives you an idea. So now, let's look at the manual note on page 16. I want to mention just two little things here that will help you as you're reading the book and you're seeing scripture references to help you understand something. As you study this manual, you will find that the biblical principles and precepts presented are substantiated with scripture references, which you are encouraged to look up as you study. The scripture references are listed in the order they're found in the Bible, not necessarily the importance. So there may be 10 verses under a concept that proves the point, but the first verse may not be the most important verse or the most substantive. So as you read those verses, you'll pick out the one that really, you know. But this next paragraph explains something. If there's a con under it, it says, i.e., down here at the bottom of that paragraph, well, principle 23, the statement, trials and testings will develop and mature you in Christ if you respond to them in God's way. It's stated fully in each of the verses that follow. So if you look, and it says, i.e., Romans 5 and James 1. In that case, each of those contexts will expound concept, okay? Whereas in the next one where it says, in addition, every series of scripture references preferenced with words based on, one verse doesn't tell the whole concept. So, must be studied all together as a whole. The truth of these statements cannot be understood with a single verse. It can be understood a study of all the reference verses put together. For example, the statement in the summary box at the top of lesson 3, page 6, the Holy Spirit is your guide, your instructor, and your sensitive counselor who reveals the wisdom of God to you. Is true, but you need to study all the scriptures below to get that whole concept. So if you see it and it's just got a scripture, i.e. scripture reference, that means, oh, okay, that pretty well backs up the whole concept. But if it says based on, it's based on all those scriptures together. So if you're studying, you come to a concept and you read one of those verses and say, well, that doesn't help much. Well, it's probably the picture. You're going to have to put the other scriptures to get the rest of it. Okay? I think that's important to be aware of as you're looking through it. Now, look at the first chapter. The way this is laid out, well, first of all, you've got the table of contents back there, okay? But let's just look at chapter 1. Your first page is always your cover page. It's got the main statement or concept that they're going to prove. You can change biblically, part 1. And the key verse is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And that's the verse you're going to memorize. But it'll tell you that in homework, so you don't have to worry about that. And then when you flip over the page, it says lesson 1, you can change biblically, part 1. But that box at the top of the page is going to tell you some critical information. Anything in a box at the top of the page is a boiling down of everything under it. So it's a concise statement summarizing what you're going to learn on that page. What you've got time for is the box and a few scriptures. That's a good use of your time. Okay? So, look, the most significant decision you will ever make concerns your willingness to follow God's plan for your life as revealed in the Bible. This decision directly impacts your daily life and your eternal destiny. And it gives you the verses. So he's talking about salvation here. So look down below. It says the purpose of the lesson. You're going to have a purpose and an outline. And then tools for the counseling down here in B and C, steps for spiritual growth. So the first page after the cover page is going to give you a quick glimpse of what you're going to cover in the whole chapter. A few basic verses underneath it. And then you got an outline to let you know where they're going. But the purposes are to provide an introduction to the course, which we've already done, to show the importance and the need for biblical self-confrontation, which we've already done, and to prevent the first confronting yourself in a biblical way, which is salvation. Okay? that's the purpose. Now, the outline is, it's going to give you the pages where everything is, and you can go back and go through everything I've covered tonight, or you can just get into the lesson part and study that for next time. So every lesson is laid out on this first page. The second page is the beginning of the principles, and you'll have a box at the top making key statements. God enables you to take the necessary first step towards lasting biblical change. This step is your response to God's demonstrated love for you in Christ Jesus. God's plan for you to change in a biblical way centers on His Son Jesus, and then you start with principle 1. Okay, there's 105 principles in this book. Time you get done, you'll know a lot more than you ever dreamed that you'd know. Okay, and it'll be very helpful to you. Read the first principle, and the rest of this chapter now is explaining that principle in great detail and making statements of how to use it and so forth and so on. You'll see is that even life is a gift, many reject it, and it goes and describes all that. And then God empowers you to choose His solution to your spiritual problem. Talking to gives you the power to believe. And then you get over here by faith, you can take the first step of biblical change. And we'll go through that next time when we get together. Now, when you get to the end of the chapter, so remember, page, purpose page, beginning of the principles, and then a description of the principles in detail. And the more scriptures you look up and the more time you spend, the more you're going to gain from it. I encourage you to figure out what you can do and then stick to whatever that is. Now, lesson next time. Look over here on page 25. And it just explains, you know, for the first time, your devotions are vital to your spiritual development. To assist you in practice, the lesson's homework is correlated to this week's study guide for daily devotions, which follows on the next page. Basic steps of spiritual growth are presented along with the basis for true biblical counseling. And then it tells you the homework on this, gives you the whole week's homework on that page. Now you can just do it that way, your own pace and your own schedule. Or you can go over to the next page, which is page 26. And you've got a study guide for daily devotions, including scripture memory and homework. So daily devotions are vital to your spiritual development. To assist you in this practice, each lesson study guide for daily correlated to the lesson's homework. This lesson study guide highlights basic steps of spiritual growth and presents the basis for true biblical counseling. And you got the scripture memory to how to do that. And then it starts out the first day, open in prayer, read biblical principle. You can change biblically, part one. Lesson one, page two, verses in your Bible. In your own words, write the meaning of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Close in prayer, take your scripture memory cards with you. Very simple. But if you do that over the next year, a little bit every day, you'll be amazed at what you learn. So you can pick the way it works, totally up to you. But, you know, if I was starting over with a young family, I'd probably do the study guide with the daily devotions, you know, and because we'd sit down and talk to the kids about the word anyway and sit on the bed and talk with them and pray and carry on. But this way we could all be doing the same thing together, you know. So that's how the book works. And then you can use it however you choose to. Now, I could tell by the looks on your face that some of you had never heard these kind of statements about self before. We live in a time and in the world where concepts about been taught and have become, psychology has become a part of our vocabulary and our thinking as a nation. And God says things a lot differently than what man's come up with. Man comes up with constant ideas of how to help people and how to serve. And I appreciate their sincerity. But I've been in this field of counseling for 50 years. And I've read, well, I just read the other day, I got over 3,000 volumes in my library. And it's because I knew what I didn't know. I knew the more you counsel with people, the more you find out you don't. Because every individual is different. Every individual has a different history, a different background, a different family dynamic. And so even when they read the same scripture, unless they're taught how to study it, they're going to come to a different conclusion, maybe even than what the author intended. And so first of all, the first step, remember, to becoming what God wants us to be, which is to be like his son, we have to be saved. And the reason is because we don't even realize how fallen we are. I don't know how many times I sit down with people and they give me very bad reasons why they're doing what they're doing and they believe it with all their heart, but it's exactly the opposite of what God said they should be doing. And they'll die on that hill and they'll die on that hill because it's not God's way and it won't work for them. You know, you don't say sarcastic things like, how's that working for you? But sometimes you think that, you know. But they really, they believe it and they hang on to it. And because my dad taught me or somebody taught me this. But if it disagrees with God, it's wrong. And it will cause you nothing grief. So I want to assure you that by the time you get through reading these materials, 8 chapters in this book, you'll understand what we're talking about when we're talking about the importance of seeing yourself correctly. Humility is misunderstood in this world. A lot of people think humility is groveling or some semblance of that. Humility is actually just seeing yourself the way God sees you. And when you realize that he had to save you from his own wrath, because you are an instrument of wrath, because you are a sinner, and he's righteous and holy and can't even fellowship with you, even though he loves you and wants to. So what's he do? He solves the problem by sending his own son to die in our place, who doesn't sin, hasn't fallen, isn't messed up in the head, and lived perfectly, and then died in our place as our substitute and our sacrifice. What he asks us to do is to believe and receive. Now, guess what happens? Not only did we make an intellectual decision, but we've made a decision to want him to take control of our life and our lives, and we surrender and submit to him. He places his Holy Spirit in us, who now shows us the truth out of the scriptures, convicts us of sin, comforts us when we need comfort, surrounds us with a body of believers. I mean, he goes to work. Now we can begin to look at things differently because we have a different set of glasses on. And we begin to see God's way is so different than what our way is. Rather than resist it and fight it, it's like embrace it, because God is always right. So I think you're going to find as you go along. What does it mean to believe, by the way? You know, we use the word belief a lot. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, the demons believe and tremble. They believe, they're not saved. What's the word believe mean when it's applying to your salvation? That's why you study things. It's like, I always want to know, well, why can they believe and tremble and I can believe and be saved? Because it's not the same kind of belief. Take your ample time and read John 3:16. Believe in, trust in, rely upon, cling to, depend upon. That's the kind of belief that saves. Let me give you a contrast. There was this guy in the 1800s that came to America. He was a Quaker bat. And he wanted to get an audience. You know, back then they didn't have internet. He strings a rope across Niagara Falls, 1,100 feet, shore to shore, 165 feet in the air, 170 feet of deep water underneath him, roaring water. And he starts doing acrobats on this rope. He wheels potatoes across there. He does everything you can imagine. He walks his hands. He does all kinds of things across this rope. And finally, he's got this crowd of 5,000 people there. You can pull it up on your phone. What's his name? Bione or something like that. I looked it up the other day. It's fun. He did it on this crazy rope. And finally, he said, how many of you believe that I could carry a man across this rope? Everybody raise their hand. He said, who's the first volunteer? Well, they didn't believe in the kind of way I'm talking about. They were not rely upon, depend upon, and cling. They'd be clinging to him, all right. But they weren't. They didn't trust him with their life. Saving faith, believing, is entrusting yourself to Christ instead of yourself. And that's believing faith. That produces something. Well, it's real for one thing, and so the Holy Spirit comes, lives within you. Now you have the power and the resource if you're humble. That's why you humble yourself, because he says if you'll humble yourself, I will give you the power. You can resist Satan himself, and he has to flee. Now, why would he say that? Why didn't he say you could resist your neighbor or Why did he say you can resist Satan? He's going big to small. He's saying, listen, if you commit to me and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, Peter says in chapter 5, and James says the same thing in James 4. Humble yourself, and I will give you grace, and then you can resist, and he has to flee. Because the worst enemy you could ever face is Satan himself. I hope I never face him, but he's the worst. Unless it's your flesh. I'm not sure which is worse anyway. I think the flesh is more deceiving and creeps up on you a lot worse than Satan does. But anyway, no matter what you face, if you're surrendered to God and humble and asking him for help, humbling just means, Lord, I need you. I can't deal with it. I can't take Satan on by myself. I can't go into a counseling session by myself. I can't go meet my neighbor for coffee by myself feeling like I need God to help me. Because I'm not there for my purposes. I'm there for his purposes. My goal in spending time with people is to build them up in faith or bring them to the faith. And that might take building relational capital. That might be months that you're working with people and working for them and serving them and caring for them. I've got a Bible study tomorrow night with my neighbors. And it's been so exciting because none of them know the Lord. The other night when I'm coming, I said, how you doing on your reading? He said, good. He said, I read all the way to John 4, starting at the first of John. And I said, well, that's fantastic. He said, yep, that's the most I've ever read in the Bible my whole life. His wife's sitting right next to me. She said, I've never read the Bible before. And yet they're excited about the Bible because, you see, God's doing a work in them. He's drawing them. Now, I spent 5 years building a relationship with those guys before I'm invited to my home Bible study. And so I'm just saying, are you living for yourself or are you living for Christ? That's what this book is going to challenge you on. Who are you living for? I tell you what, if you're living for God, every day you get up in the morning, you got a reason to get out of bed. I don't care what bad happens to you. I don't care what happened. You can lose your spouse as I did. You know what? I got purpose when I get up in the morning. It's somehow to get to know better and help somebody else get to know God a little bit better. And it gives you a reason. So you can see that in, you know, with your children, with your neighbors, with your coworkers, the kids you're teaching at school, your grandkids. I'm always looking for ways to hobnob with my grandkids somehow, just time with them. Find out what's going on in your life. So God will give you all kinds of ammunition in this course to know how to reach out and touch people as you're being changed and touched yourself. And many of you are very mature believers in here, and you've been at this a long time, but it will help you immensely. Some of you are younger in the faith. It'll help you immensely. You have to spend the time in the learning of the principles of the scriptures and then applying them for it to have that kind of an effect on you. Any questions of anything we've taught on or the course or anything like that at all? I always wait to, yes?
Reading the homework, it says supplement 1 and supplement 2.
Oh, in the back of the book, there's all these supplements for helping. Okay, so in the back, there's a whole section after chapter 24. It's called... Excuse me. Huh? Is it 423? Yeah, supplements and practice helps. Now, we'll use these as we go along, and you'll see some of them. But fantastic things like that they feel like you're going to need to help in counseling or growing or keeping track of something, overcoming, having victory over fears, you know, all in the back. That we'll get into as we go along, and they're going to introduce you to a little bit at a time. So, yeah, I forgot about that. So you got the lessons and the supplements for application. And we'll talk about how to use those as we go along. You ladies will probably be better at that stuff than the guys. And about worksheets and things like that, the guys' eyes glaze over, and the women get all excited. because it makes sense to them. To the guys, it's like, what did you say? What do I have to do? I mean, so, you know, I don't mean to categorize this or anything, but I've just just been around. I say both species. I mean both genders. I've been around both genders a long time, and we're just different. I don't care what the world says. And so, any other questions? Yes.
We do all our lessons at home. What can we expect when we come here?
You're going to expect, I'm going to ask you a few questions based upon last lesson. Of course, there hasn't been a last lesson so far. If you have questions about the last lesson, and then we're going to teach through the class, and we're going to, because of your homework, then we're going to have an open discussion about it so people can ask questions and give input about the lesson. So the reason you've time is that you've already thought about questions, maybe questions you didn't find answers to, that kind of thing. That's what you're going to get from the class. I'll try not to. You know, we're going to have to hit the high points. I won't be able to teach it like I've used to taught it in the past, but I'm learning along with you on how to do this in a two-hour session for two chapters. But you know what? If you're studying this stuff and looking at it and reading through it, you're going to have questions, and you're also going to be able to understand a lot more when I teach it, especially if you've looked up a lot of the scriptures. You'll already know where those concepts came from. They come from the scripture, I guarantee you. Okay. Another question.
Two chapters that we're doing before.
Yeah, chapter 1 and 2. So we'll do chapter 1 and 2. And we'll just start, we won't go into all the stuff I already covered. We'll just start right with lesson 1, you know, the memory verse. The other thing is, I used to do this, but this is such a big class, I don't know how to do that. But we would break up and say our memory verses to each other and all that kind of stuff. We could probably still do that some. We'll see how that goes. If you see something you think would help or improve, I'm open to suggestions. Yeah, that's good. So chapter 1 and 2, when we come back together, third week, third Thursday of every month, and 6 o'clock, we'll probably run 6 to 8, and we'll teach in two chapters. Any other questions? Yes. That's a great question. How do we apply what we're learning? That's one of the things about the supplements and the application process, and we're actually taking steps to apply. So, like the first one is basically, you know, if you're not a believer, coming to Christ, you know, that's. But all the rest of the chapter is going to be some principle that you're needing to apply. You may already be applying it to your life, but if you're not, that you need to apply. Well, then they'll be in the homework. There'll actually be application principles to teach you to do that. Plus, we can talk about it. I can give you a lot of examples from working with people, ways that they've been able to apply the scriptures that maybe you haven't, you know, haven't thought about before. Things that they've found to help them overcome certain things that they couldn't overcome before. You know, that kind of stuff. So, and then there's a lot of other mature believers in here that's had a lot of experience as well. So, man, we'll tap each other's resource here, okay? Good question. Yeah, applying is that piece. This is one thing that concerns me about you start a great church and you build that great church to a certain level, and then somebody comes in new, and it's all set up. It's already built. They're just coming as a spectator, and they're hearing great teaching. They're hearing great sermons, but they don't know how to apply them. And if they're learning and not applying, they can actually become proud and self-deceived. So we need to work on application, because that, until there's application, there's no change. Just because I know the principle, that doesn't change me. What changes me is when I put it into practice. I trust God enough to depend on it and put it into practice. Great question. Any other questions? All right. Well, you had dinner and Eyes are starting to glaze over. I appreciate you taking the time out of your lives to come. I think you'll learn a lot, and I think it'll actually impact our church, so, and our community, and your families. And so let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful resource you've given us. Thank you for Dr. Broger putting it together for us. Thank you for your Bible. If it wasn't for your Bible, we would not know any of this stuff. And we look around at the ideas that man has come up with, very sincerely trying to help people, and it's just not even in the same league as what you give us. So help us to be grateful. Help us to take it serious, and yet at the same time have great joy while we're applying it. To be faithful to you and your word is to experience your joy. Jesus says, if we'll obey the Father like he obeys the Father, he'll give us his joy, and our joy will be full. So help us to experience that as we are faithful to you and forward to what you're going to do in each life, in their families, in their community, and in our church. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.